Simple Christianity, Part 2. Question: Would Jesus be welcomed in his church if he were to return today? Likewise, would you be welcomed in your church if you were truly following all that Jesus commanded and in the ways he demonstrated? Could he resume his ministry as it was prior to his ascension to heaven without being expelled from most churches, attacked by the woke left, assailed by the radical Islamic front, or jailed by our own government? This is, of course, a ridiculous question, because the Bible tells us that Jesus is coming back, but it will be to gather his elect and take them, rapture them, to stand before the throne of God so God may begin 7 years of judgment on the earth. But the point is that Jesus was far too radical for most Christian church denominations to put up with him. Non-denominations included. Just to be clear, Jesus came to earth, was born in a manger in Jerusalem, and did exactly what he came to do in exactly the time that God the Father allotted. When his earthly mission was finished, it was finished. Then he sent us, his disciples, saying, "Truly, truly I say to you, the one who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I am going to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." See John 14:12. I believe this hypothetical is worth considering as a way to determine if becoming a Christian is for you, or to evaluate your own claim as being a Christian and to help refocus Christians' minds on the commands and teachings of Jesus. So, let's begin with some of Jesus' most controversial statements and acts and see what you think. "Go and do as I have done." It wasn't enough that Jesus demonstrated and performed what he taught, he told his disciples to go and do the same. "And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with leprosy, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give," exactly as Jesus did it. Why would Jesus choose to perform the impossible? Was it to demonstrate the power of the kingdom of God? Jesus had announced that people should repent, for the kingdom of heaven is now at hand, and they have not only seen and experienced his power, but now his disciples are told to exercise this same power under his authority. So, what has changed since that day? I have searched the scriptures, and what I have found is that Jesus is the same today as he was then, and his final earthly words were to follow all that I commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Do not monetize and do not capitalize. Do not acquire gold, or silver, or copper for your money belts, or a bag for your journey, or even two tunics, or sandals, or a staff, in this ministry of Christ Jesus, for the worker is deserving of his support. And whatever city or village you enter, inquire who is worthy in it, and stay at his house until you leave that city. As you enter the house, give it your greeting. If the house is worthy, see that your blessing of peace comes upon it. But if it is not worthy, take back your blessing of peace. And whoever does not receive you nor listen to your words, as you leave that house or city, shake the dust off your feet. Truly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment, than for that city. I don't know about you, but I find it very unsettling that not only are Jesus' 21st century disciples, more specifically, many of the pastors, preachers, evangelists, teachers and theologians, inviting people to church rather than going out with the church, they are not doing what they say, they are sending others in their place. Then they capitalize on their methods and acquire wealth and fame for themselves. I not only find it unsettling, but I find it despicable. Do not patronize people, tell the truth, stay on guard. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be as wary as serpents, and as innocent as doves. Be on guard against people, for they will hand you over to the courts and flog you in their synagogues, if you are doing as I have shown you, commanded and taught you, and you will even be brought before governors and kings on my account, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they hand you over, do not worry about how or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given you in that hour. For it is not you who are speaking, but it is the Spirit of your Father who is speaking in you. What part of being sent out as sheep in the midst of wolves and to be as innocent as doves do you not understand? Hiding behind a bevy of attorneys or cowering in the shadows? The gospel will divide the good from the bad. Now brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death, because of my message. And you will be hated by all because of my name, but it is the one who is endured to the end who will be saved. The message of the gospel is divisive only because people will choose the darkness of this world over the light of the gospel. One of the primary reasons the nation of Israel has been reviled, persecuted, and endlessly punished is because of their absolute standards and enduring success as a people and a nation. Now, even more so, will the world hate and persecute Christians for living the standards of Christ? Stay on the move, do not settle down in buildings. But whenever they persecute you in one city, flee to the next, for truly I say to you, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel until the Son of Man comes. Does it become even slightly apparent that the contemporary churches are not following the commands and examples of Jesus? And please, for those of you who are the paid professional church folks, please don't try saying, that message was just for those apostles, because if that were true, then the message and command to go and make disciples of all the world would have ended after these men were martyred. But it did not end there. Jesus told his disciples and his apostles to go, therefore, and make disciples. He did not tell them to go and make Christians or church attenders or religious adherents. He did not even tell them to go and make men and women, boys and girls who will have a personal relationship with me, although that would be an outcome. Jesus told them to go and make disciples, of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to follow all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. And as the preceding generation passed away, the present generation is to carry the same message, following the same instructions, using the same methods in the same way. Jesus commanded and commissioned his disciples to be disciple makers and to make disciple makers, each using his or her spiritual gifts as they went. Then we are to continue until he returns for his church. So many in the church is overly concerned about the appearance and their brand that I am fairly certain that these church leaders would object strenuously to these and other words and methods of Jesus if they were spoken and taught in their own churches. For example, bring a sword. Matthew 10:34, do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Verse 35. For I came to turn a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Verse 36, and a person's enemies will be the members of his household. Fulfill the law. Matthew 5:17, do not presume that I came to abolish the law or the prophets, I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill the law and the prophets. Call sinners. Mark 2:17, and hearing this, Jesus said to them, it is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Save the world. John 12:47, if anyone hears my teachings and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Cast fire and bring division upon the earth. Luke 12:49, I have come to cast fire upon the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. Verse 50. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is accomplished. Verse 51. Do you think that I came to provide peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather to create division. These are just a few of the things Jesus demonstrated and commanded that we, his church, do. I have heard so many preachers, Bible teachers and detractors alike, try to justify or explain away these words of Jesus because they just cannot fathom the gentle and sweet dashboard Jesus saying such things as we find in the verses cited. These same confused preachers really get tied in a knot over John 14:12. They will begin their commentary of teaching it with, what this really means is. Or, times and technologies have changed, so our methods need to change. Jesus said what he meant and meant exactly what he said. He is our model for our counter-cultural resistance to the growing global threat of the satanic evils of false gospels, a new religious paganism, the rise of false teachers, false religions, hiding within the new one-world religion, see the Abrahamic family house, and the pseudo-religion of the communist Marxist globalist movements, and we need to get on with it. Jesus' time on earth was spent fulfilling the purpose and will of his Father, Matthew 5:19, Matthew 5:39. Jesus was on a singular mission, John 6:38, and nothing would stand in the way of accomplishing that mission, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. A two-sided coin. We are told, on one side of the coin, to go and make disciples of all the nations, while at the same time, we are told to be as gentle as sheep and innocent as doves. We are not only to tell others of God's love, his mercies and his grace for all people, but we are to be like-minded, united in spirit, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, courteous and compassionate toward each other as members of one household, and humble in spirit, and never return evil for evil or insult for insult. Avoid scolding, berating, and any kind of abuse, but on the contrary, give a blessing. Pray for one another's well-being, contentment, and protection, for you have been called for this very purpose, that you might inherit a blessing from God that brings well-being, happiness, and protection. 4. The one who wants to enjoy life and see good days must keep his tongue free from evil and his lips from speaking treachery, deceit. He must turn away from wickedness and do what is right. He must search for peace with God, with self, with others, and pursue it eagerly and actively, not merely desiring it. Even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, though it is not certain that you will, you are still blessed, happy, and to be admired and favored by God. Do not be afraid of their intimidating threats, nor be troubled or disturbed by their opposition. But in your heart set Christ apart as holy, acknowledging Him, giving Him first place in your lives as Lord. Always be ready to give a logical reason to anyone who asks you to account for the hope and confident assurance that comes about by faith that is within you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. And see to it that your conscience is entirely clear, so that every time you are slandered or falsely accused, those who attack or disparage your good behavior in Christ will be shamed by their own words. For it is better that you suffer unjustly for doing what is right, if that should be God's will, than to suffer justly for doing wrong. For Christ died for sins, once for all, He, who is the just and righteous for the unjust and unrighteous, the innocent for the guilty, so that He might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. We too must follow His example. So, now what do you think? Would Jesus be welcomed in His church, if He were to return today and resumed His ministry as it was prior to His ascension to heaven without being expelled from most churches for His radical approach? Wouldn't He be attacked by the woke left, assailed by the radical Islamic front, or jailed by our own government? Likewise, would you be welcomed in your church if you were truly following all that Jesus commanded and in the ways He demonstrated? This is not just a hypothetical, is it? It is a question to be considered and answered. So, what say you? Your brother and friend, Mike Young.